Psalms 42. Psalms chapter 42, division 42, verse number 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. The last verse, 11. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. The Lord would help me. I want to preach to you on the question, why art thou cast down? Amen. Why art thou cast down? David, when he wrote this psalm, was in sore trouble. You don't have to be a real discerner of spirits to feel that when you read this psalm. The psalm speaks for itself of the trouble of David's heart. Where to turn, what to do, away from God, away from church, away from the ordinary. But yet David said in these words that would speak volumes to us when he said, my tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? They had noticed from David's dilemma that it seemed as though his God had forsaken him. It seemed to them that God was further away from David than he'd ever been in his life. For David was the gentle shepherd boy who had learned to sing and to praise God under the stars around Bethlehem, who had tended the sheep of Jesse, and by doing so had proved himself more than capable of handling life's situations. When the lion came in, he arose, took the lion by the beard, and slew him. When the bear came in, he dispatched the bear. It was not that David had a life that was at ease, or that he had a life that didn't have trouble. David knew what trouble was. But now David finds himself separated from the things that he loved the most, worshiping God, being able to have the quiet time, being by himself, being now, as we would say, in charge of other lives, leading and directing, making decisions, crowded with cares of where the food would come from, which direction to go, how to handle myself, what can I let these men know, how will they follow me if they sense what I really am going through on the downside of my, usually, on the mountaintop experience? So David is in trouble, sore trouble. He was taunted by his enemies because they could tell that things were not like they used to be. For there for a while, everything was uphill for David. He continually ascended the hill of God. The blessings came unannounced and unasked for. The blessings came from places that David never looked for them. For God would send a prophet to him from a far away. And David just had heard of reputation of this man. And all of a sudden here he is with his horn of oil and the pronunciation that thou shalt be king in the stead of Saul. All of this was the ascension of David as he climbed in the grace of God. But then all of a sudden, after he had come from a shepherd boy to the king's son-in-law, all of a sudden the side got slippery and he began to go down the other side. Now David wasn't thought so well of in some places, and he was talked against by those who were supporters of Saul. And all of the praise now didn't have the same ring to it because there was criticism. And all of a sudden the ascension of David was stopped. And people began to say, now, where is your God? Well, troubles will come, won't they? Troubles will have their day in our lives. But though he had the bitter memories of memories of a brighter day, a day when he was the significant someone with those sheep and the great one with God. You see, it's not the place where you sit. It's not the job that you hold. It's actually where you stand with God. David could be the shepherd of a few sheep and get closer to God than Saul could with a marching army and a throne. Sometimes we say, if I only had, No, it doesn't depend on the only had. It depends on where you're at, what you're doing with what you've got. Amen. Availability is still the best ability. And if we would become available to God, even though we may be in the bleeding of the sheep, even though we may be a wandering boy on the backside of his dad's farm or somebody else's heel, and David could not outdistance God, and therefore David grew accustomed to God's presence. Always those people who are accustomed to God's presence are those who miss it. Amen. Those who are used to the Holy Ghost moving on them miss it when it's not in the service. Those who very seldom are moved upon don't think anything about it because that's normal. Those who have never been moved upon think it's not even necessary. Amen. So David had become accustomed to being moved upon by the Spirit, being moved to do great and mighty things. And now the Spirit wasn't moving him like it did in times past. So the bitter memories of brighter days haunted him. Why isn't it like it used to be? Why doesn't God do for me like He used to do? Why isn't God making these things go away like He used to make them? All of these things were just the bitter memories of brighter days, and we all have them. We all come to those days when we look over our shoulder, want to or not, to a day when things were a whole lot brighter, and life a whole lot simpler. Can anyone out there say amen? Well, those memories of brighter days and these experiences had seemingly, amen, would have depressing effect. Any time that you have been up and you have to sit down, it's depressing. Anytime you've been anointed and all of a sudden you go through the dry valley, it's depressing. Anytime you just got through praying a great thing through and you're rejoicing and then all of a sudden you find yourself under a juniper tree, it's depressing. That's why the Lord said to the prophet who had fled for his life and deposited himself under the juniper tree and prayed to die, that he awoke him gently and he found a cruse of water at his head and a cake baking on the fire. And he said, arise and eat, for the journey is too great for thee. It is when you're depressed. A day is too much of a journey in depression. When you're down, an hour sometimes is a long time. But David found himself here, and these experiences had a depressing effect. Where is thy God? Oh, how depressing it is for somebody to say, it's not like it used to be, is it? It doesn't seem like you're getting in like you used to, are you? It doesn't seem like you sang like you used to. The anointing seems to be less. How depressing when my critics begin to take on our God. And they don't blame God. They just said, what have you done? Why isn't it like it used to be? Why have you done? Have you sinned? Have you done wrong? What has caused this temporary separation from God? Well, all of us, you know, face that dark conspiracy of the devil. He conspires to get us in these low places. And then when he gets us there, amen, he really, really puts it on us. Once he gets your head bowed down, he'll lay into you good. When he gets you doubting God, he will hurt you severely. He will attack your faith. He will uncork the bottle of your joy and pour it out in the dusty experience at your feet. And you will watch everything that you had worked for diminish and diminish until you stand and you wonder yourself, where is God? Maybe they're right. Maybe I am wrong. Maybe this is not the right place for me. Maybe I'm in the wrong church. Maybe I'm married to the wrong person. And all of a sudden we question everything that has value, everything that can help us. For he turns us inward and makes us to devaluate our own experience. So David, in the midst of all of this trouble, finally has enough. Do you ever get to where you had enough? Did you ever get to where you said, I'm not going another step like this? Did you ever get to where you said, this is it. This is it. I am doing something about this. Well, David got there. You know who he addresses? He doesn't address God. He doesn't address Saul. He doesn't address his enemies or his critics. David addresses his soul. Verse 5 again, if you will read with me. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Why are you disquieted? You're usually singing. Why are you so quiet? Hello out there. David did not take his grievance out on somebody else. For he said, I will yet praise him for the help of his countenance. He said, I will get back to where I was. I will do it. But before I can do anything, I've got to talk to myself. Well, I would say to you, don't do this on a public square. And you may not want to do it in your own home with the children and your companion present. You may want to get into the closet where nobody can see you and give yourself a good talking to. Every once in a while, we deserve one. Amen. Come on, somebody help me preach. David says to his soul, why art thou cast down? He knew where it was happening. He knew the source of it. It comes from within us. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Hearts inside of us. A man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So the devil introverts you and says, look at your heart, you dirty thing, you. Look at that thought you just had. Look at that temper you just thought about doing. What if you had opened your mouth and really said what you were just thinking? Huh? What if God had just flashed it on the wall? Nobody had a lick of confidence in you if they had seen just what went through your heart. Hello out there. So David talks to himself and realized that the problem is not around him. It's in him. It is part of him. For it is man that is made up of the triunity of body, soul, and spirit. And all of them are vital to us. We cannot live one without the other. Our soul does affect our body does affect our soul and body affects our spirit affects our soul and body. We cannot live one without the other. We must have all three to be a living entity. Amen. And therefore, when my soul is down, it affects me. I want to sit down. Amen. When my spirit is low, my soul does not want to sing. And my hands do not want to raise. And my feet do not want to dance. And my hand do not want to clap. Amen. And my face does not want to smile. And that's when you get that serious look. Don't touch me. If you know what's good for you, don't touch me tonight. Because something's wrong on the inside. Anybody say amen? Amen? Something's wrong on the inside. So for David to get up, he must bring unity back to that which has been splintered. He must bring unity back to himself. He must become one again with himself. Father, I pray that they may be one, even as we are one. I pray that they may be one. There is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and they are one. Though they are three separate people, they are one God. Amen. They are one in unity, one in purpose. And so God would have us to pull the loose ends of our life together and become one. You need to be one. You need to be whole. That's why we preach holiness, because holiness is wholeness. Holiness is best experience for getting everything together. Body, soul, and spirit in unity and in harmony. Can the church say amen?
Amen.
So here we have David addressing his soul. Why art thou cast down? Why? Well, a suffering soul says it best, doesn't it? A suffering soul says it best. Something to find in itself. I've got to find the cause. So I must look I must look deeper than surface relationship. I cannot say just putting off this coat will get me closer to God, or changing the collar of my shirt will get me closer to God. I have laid aside everything that I think I can lay aside. Maybe there is more. But that laying aside only does one thing. Without it being counterbalanced, it will throw you over to the side of self-accomplishment. And you will go around boasting, I am not like other people. And you will be not united, but overbalanced on one side. But you need something that goes deeper. The holiness exterior standards are absolutely correct. No jewelry, no paint, no tight-fitting clothes. Amen. All that stuff is just exactly right for us.
Amen.
Amen. Right. Hair is no longer an issue. We know that the best way to do it is let it grow on the women and keep it cropped on your head as a man. Well, you don't want to hear that tonight, do you? So, you find a suffering soul saying something to itself. If you could have walked up on David, you would have heard him say, why art thou cast down? And you would have looked around for his friend and said, who are you talking to? And David, you would have stood still and listened to the rest of it. You would have heard him address the best friend that he ever had, the part of him that is the seat of his emotion, the part that passion comes from, the part that the song comes from, the part that worship comes from. The best friend that I have is my soul. For Jesus said, and what should a man give in exchange for his soul? He said, if they chop your body up, don't worry, I'll replace it. But who replaces his soul? If you go through life and you have to go through without one hand, that's fine. Or one foot, that's fine. Or one eye, that's fine. Or if you have to grope through life dark, that's fine. There's a promise after a while that you'll get it all back. But soul. Oh, the greatest possession you have is your soul. For what you are deep in the how deep do you want to go? What you are is not what you see in the mirror. What you are is what makes you do what you do. Hello? Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So we hear this suffering soul talking to itself. And David, as you and I know, that's what happens to a man, is never so important as the way he reacts to it. David said, what's going on around me is not my problem. That's not important. Why am I reacting the way I'm reacting? Now listen to me, give me your attention, because some of you have got a real reaction problem. It's not who does it to you. It's how you react to what is done. It's not what they say about you, it's how you react to what is said.
All right.
Amen. You lose your song with the wrong reaction. You lose your closeness to God with a bad attitude, a wrong reaction. Amen?
Amen.
Come on, somebody say amen.
Amen.
How he reacts to it. So one day, this suffering king said, okay, time for court. And he pulled out a chair and he set his soul in the witness chair. And he began to hold court with the trouble that he has with himself. And he begins there to do those things that we all need to do. Question, question, and question again why I am doing it this way. The questions fall like blows upon his soul. And sure, you've taken some heavy blows. It's not easy when people talk about you. Don't get in the ministry. unless you can take being talked about. If your little thin skin can't take people's criticism, don't get here. Amen. In fact, you won't stay long in any race if you can't take criticism. So David had taken some heavy blows from his opponents. But the heavy blows was not what had him down. He had taken some sharp criticisms from his enemies. But the criticism was not what had him down. He had taken some very heavy blows from his father-in-law. But King Saul was not what was holding David down. Amen. All of these things will come in life. Sooner or later you'll walk into one. Somebody will sucker punch you into next week. You'll shake your head and say, "Why, God, did I deserve that?" It's not deserving, my friend. It's part of life. If you have an enemy, he will try to entrap you. If you have an enemy, he will try to set a net for your feet and dig a pit for your path. If you have an enemy, he will criticize you. If you have an enemy, he will exploit you. If you have an enemy, he'll stealthily try to find out your weakness. But all of those things are very common knowledge to us. We know we have an adversary called the devil. The present gets bleak and it gets brutal. Many times in the early Christianity, they were beaten for their faith, threatened. They were robbed, scandalized, blamed. But the church grew because they knew that that was not their major problem. They expected that from the world. In this world you shall have trouble. Has the world changed? Is the world going to change? So what do you expect in this world? Tribulation. Trouble. But be of good cheer, Jesus said. I've walked through this world. This world put heavy blows on me. This world walked on me. This world ridiculed me. This world scandalized me. This world did everything it could. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Hallelujah. So, sometimes things get bleak and sometimes they get brutal. But that doesn't give your soul, as he sits there and David said, you've been really hurt. You've been really criticized. Things look bleak right now. People have been brutal to you. But, my soul, why art thou cast down? Amen. What about the future? Have you forgotten your future? Oh, my soul, have you forgotten your future? Your future is bright. Though you're in a bleak and dark time now, you have the promise of a bright future. Just a few brief days down the road, my soul, and you will go to a throne, and you will reign as the friend of God. God will set you up on the throne, and when His Son comes, He will be called the Son of David. Oh, the day, the future looks bright. And when your pilgrimage is over, and when you fought your last battle, when you sung your last song, you'll go to be with your fathers. You will go to the greatness of God. You will go to the fellowship of God. On the bleakest part of your day, my soul, why are you down? It's because maybe you forgot your future. Sometimes we get so caught up in this world that we forget. Heaven's mine. Streets of gold, gates of pearl, fellowship with angels and saints, glorious onlooking of the Father, amen. River of life, fruit, amen, of life, leaves and trees of healing, never grow old, never be this way again, never find an enemy in the whole of the country. Not one cemetery, not one tombstone, not one wailing, not one tear, not any weeping. My soul, have you forgot that this is only a valley and we're going through it? And when we come out the other side, it will be better for us. What of the future? What of the future? Can you see it now, David? That you will become so rich that you will have actually at the day of your death when you turn it over to Solomon and you give Solomon the material that you gather for God's house, that you will have gathered in billions of dollars for the building of God a house? But it's a shepherd boy. What have you got? Nothing. What do you own? Nothing. How do you live? Handouts. But have you forgot your future? That one day you will be a billionaire with billions to bestow? Sometimes we forget our future. And when we forget that it's going to be better for us if we go through this, we react harshly to it and we say to God, why? When the question should not be addressed to God, be addressed to our soul. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Amen. Well, have you no ear for God? Have you lost your sensitivity to God? Has the shouting and the clamor of the world dulled your hearing till you can no longer hear the voice of God? Has God quit speaking? Has God no instrument that He can get your attention? Oh, my soul, why art thou cast down? Have you no ear for God? When the last time you were down, didn't God speak to you? Before you went through the great valley of your crisis, didn't God speak to you? Did God need a megaphone to get your attention? No, He was in the still, peaceful tranquility of your soul. You heard the voice of God. As you walked in the cool of the evening in the flower garden of your soul, and there with the close fellowship with God, He spoke to you.
Right.
And His peace settled your soul. Like rocked in the arms of a mother, so our soul is rocked in the quietness of God. When I lose my peace within, I have no peace without. When I lose my joy within, I have no joy without. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God lives not merely in the past. David could have said so. Don't you remember the bear and the lion and Goliath? Don't you remember? Don't you remember? Oh, yes. But that would have relegated God back to the past and only the past. And we were past tense God. Always in the past, you have to go back there, go through the brush of yesterday to find God somewhere. We don't want a God who only stays in our past. We want a God of the present. We want a God right now. We want a God that can talk to us and do for us what He's done for us in the past. No matter how old I get, I want a God of now. Amen. If I ever sit down and write my memoirs, I don't want it ever to say, this is the way it used to be. I want to say this is where He brought me from and this is where I am today. And my companion on my journey has been my God. Amen. God doesn't live merely in the past. Some folks said it's not like it used to be. Of course it's not. How can you tell what's going on around you if you're always got your head stuck in the brush of the past? Pull it out. Look around and see what God's doing. I can point to you. He tried to kill you. And He tried to kill you. And He tried to kill you. And if God of heaven had to been a God right now with a path, He would have got you. Amen. Sitting back there, Brother Larry's living on just a portion. The doctor doesn't even realize how he can live and be as big as he is on no more heart than he's got. I can tell you God can take a little bit and make it go a long way. Yeah. Yeah. Hallelujah. They don't have all the answers. Just because they've got a sheepskin that says doctor doesn't mean that they've their final answer. We've got a God that lives with us today. He lived with my grandma. He lives with me. He was the God of her present. He's the God of my present. Amen. My day is just as important to Him as her day was to her. Amen. You see, He lives in the presence also. This present day is important to God. Why aren't you cast down, my soul? Why art thou? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Don't you see any footprints of the shepherd? Can't you find his flock anywhere? If you're confused, look for the shepherd and his sheep. You find sheep, you find a shepherd. You'll know them. He said, my sheep know my voice. Just get close enough to the fold and you'll hear the shepherd's voice as he sings to his sheep. And the closer you get, you'll want to lay down. And the closer you get, you'll want to join. And the closer you get, you'll feel secure. And the closer you get, you can come and lay at his feet. And he will brush your head. And and he will make over you. And he'll say, I'm glad you're back. And I'm glad you're happy to be here. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Hallelujah. He's not only the God of the past and the God of right now, but he's the God of the future. Our soul would be cast down within us if we didn't have anything to hope for. If there was no hope in our future, there was nothing out there. But he is the God of the future. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Can the church say amen? Amen. He is the God that brought me through thus far. He is the God that stands with me now. He's the God that will take my hand and see me through. Amen. I'm never going to be without him because he said in his holiness that he would never leave me nor forsake me. That I may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. For all that man can do is take everything I own and destroy my body. But they do not have any power to go anywhere else. And if they crush this temple, it only releases my soul. And my soul flies away into the arms of Jesus. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Hallelujah. Therefore, he says to his soul, hope thou in God. Hope thou in God. Do what? Hope. Do what? Hope. That's too easy. No, it's the answer. Hope thou in God. The God that is immutable. The God that is omnipotent. The God that is omnipotent, the God that is omnipresent, the God that created all things, the God that fills every inch of space, the God that cannot change, the God that was David's is now mine. Hope thou in God. Now, notice the word and the force of the word why. Sometimes it's appropriate. Why? It's not to be asked of God. It's to be asked of our own emotions. Why? All of our extremeness of our emotions need questioning. When we get ticked off real good, we should say, why are you ticked off? Why are you mad at that person? Why are you mad in this situation? Why are you acting and behaving like you are? We need to question those things. Come on, look at me and smile. Give me the old Pentecostal head shake. If you don't want to say amen, just shake your head. Sometimes we need to ask the question, why? Why did I smart off? What made me smart off? What made me give that smart answer? What made me put out that criticism? What made me fall out with the church? Why? Why art thou cast down? Why? In most cases, the putting of our emotional excess is where we'll find the loose baggage that needs to be laid aside, so we can stand on the answer and make our answer reasonable. For we need not only to ask it, we need to come up with a answer. Sometimes, as our brother said over here, he said, some folks take very loosely that word sanctified. But I remember if a person lost their temper, amen, in the old school of southern Indiana, if you lost it, you didn't have it. Amen? So I would vote tonight that if you could lose your temper and never find it, it'd be the best loss that you ever suffered in your life. If you could lose that pride and never find it, if you could cast it into the sea and it wash away to where you could never reach it again, your soul would sing better in the morning light. Weeping will come because people get cast down by their own soul. They lose track of what makes them happy. Let me tell you when I'm the happiest. Can I testify and tell you when I'm the happiest? I'm the happiest when I feel His presence. Tears may be rolling down out of my eyes and I may be sobbing uncontrollably, but I'm the happiest in my soul when His billows went over my head and crashed down on me. When I turn and look upward and say to God, I'm not worthy of that, but I know it's because of Your greatness. I know it's because of Your great compassion, Your great mercy, Your great love, that You are causing this billow to crash down upon me and make my soul to be refreshed in this desert experience. Sometimes I come out of those experiences singing. Sometimes I come out mute. Sometimes I don't want to say a word. I just want to be still, because what I'm hearing is the voice of God. And I want to lay my hand over my mouth and say, don't talk now, soul. Don't say a word. Don't say a word. Don't do it. Let Him talk. Let Him speak. Let Him help you. When Sister Tanya was up here speaking in tongues, the spirit that gave her that interpretation to her tongue was telling her what her heart was saying. That depth right then was the purest praise that probably Sister Hibbets has ever gave in her life. For the Holy Ghost was giving her words to form her greater need. And when it was all boiled down, her greater need was just more of You. Yeah. Everything I need is more of You. Hope thou in God. Greater calmness comes when our soul has snuggled under the wings of God. Our greatest comfort is when we feel the flutter of His heart. If I must go with Him to Calvary, I would want with John to lay my head on his bosom. If I must watch Calvary unfold, then please give me that moment when I can lay my head over on His beating heart and feel His love. Because He could have said, John, this is not comely. What would these fishermen think of you with your head on my breast? John had got beyond that. It was not what was going on around him that mattered. It was what was going on in him. And when Peter, that big, bold fisherman, run and went into the night weeping, John was steadily marching beside his Christ, going to Calvary and standing there where Christ could see him in the multitude of hecklers, in the multitude of crucifiers. There stood John next to his trembling mother. And Jesus turned and said to the only one that was there calm enough to be of any help, take my mother. John, where would you rather be? In the crisis moment, where would you rather be? I'll tell you where, in control.
If your soul is out of control, you'll be like Peter. The mixed emotions of Peter, not knowing whether he was a success or a failure. Not knowing where he was right or wrong. Just knowing that he had crashed and didn't know if he could get up. All of those mixed emotions made him weep bitterly. And the rest of the disciples fled. Amen. But John, oh John, little young, inexperienced John, little John who had got the name Son of Thunder, who was ready to call fire down, who was ready to take things in his own hands, all of a sudden has got peace like a river. And as he stands at the cross, he is as calm as though Jesus was right there beside him. Though he knew Jesus was dying, John must live to do Jesus' will. Let me tell you something, my friend. It's a lot more to this than a lap around the building, if you please. There's got to be times when you come down to the crisis, like Sister Lana said. She said, when she said, I told them I can't breathe. She said, I didn't care who was there. I raised my hands and started praying. Oh, God, help me. Amen. There it is. There's our hope. Where's our hope? In God. It's not in the surgeon. It's not in the machinery. It's in God. Sometimes life comes down to where it's in nothing else but God. Amen. You want out of it. It's God that's going to get you out. You want up. It's God that's going to lift you up. You want help. It's God that's going to help you. You want to change. It's God that can change you. Everything revolves around God. You want to be more spiritual. Get closer to God. You want to have more power. Get more of God. You want to have stability in a rocking world. Get a hold of God. He's stronger than the rock of Gibraltar. He's the rock of our salvation. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God. And the minute that hope stepped up, he was no longer embarrassed. He said to these, though his circumstances outside had not changed, look at what happened on the inside. For I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. I will yet praise him. I may be down, but I am not out. Amen. I will get up. I will go through this, and I will yet praise him. Somebody say amen. Amen. Listen to the psalmist as he speaks in 62, verse 5. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. Do you expect something? Oh God, I hope if you do, that your expectation is from God. If I have an expectation, it won't be, amen, from what the government can do for me, or the state can do for me, or the city can do for me, or it won't be for what my wife can do for me, or my children can do for me, or anybody else. My final expectation is, if God don't help me, I'm in a hard place. Amen. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. You see, my friends, we come tonight to this real crucible of trying to get up. And I know, I sense, I feel, amen, by the leading of the Spirit that there's more here that's down that don't want to talk about it. You've got a problem on the inside and you don't want to speak about it. That things are not like they used to be and you don't want nobody to know about it. But let me tell you something, my friend, God knows. And he would like for you to turn your attention to your soul. He'd like for you to sit down in that witness seat. And he'd like to bring out some facts for your soul. He would like to ask you the question, have I ever forsaken you? Come on. Then hope thou in God. Have I ever not supplied your needs? Then hope thou in God. Haven't I been there when nobody else could get to you? Then hope thou in God. Wasn't I there when you were lonely? And didn't I dry your tears? And didn't I bring you through the crisis? Then hope thou in God. Draw up a chair, my soul. And let me tell you what's best for me and you. For us to ever be made whole, we've got to get a hold of God. Hallelujah. I may take me a lap. Hallelujah. You know I'm right. You look there. I told Brother Mike, I said, you ought to see the way your wife looks at me sometimes when I'm preaching. She said, you ought to see the way those guys are behind you. And maybe sometimes I need to turn around and look and see. Is everything well back here? Smile. Come on, amen. Come on. Glory to God. Hope thou in God. Hope thou in God. Sister Merle, do you expect to see Michael ever to change his way? Hope thou in God. Do you ever expect to see it work out? Hope thou in God. You want a miracle? Don't put your hope in me. I finally got folks to realize you can walk up here anytime you want to and get prayed for. That's the liberty you have. But when you take and make up your mind that it's the moment, bring your faith with you, because I may not be in step. Amen. And I may not be able to do it. But if you'll wait on me as I wait on God, when that special breath hits me, I'm ready to hope in God. I'm ready to hope He can move the mountain. I'm ready to hope He can pick up and pluck up the sycamine tree. I'm ready to hope that He'll give you a message. I'm ready to hope He'll turn it around. I'm ready then, because I feel like God has moved on my soul. And when my soul is right, I'm right. Woo! Wait thou on the Lord. Wait, I say. Wait upon the Lord. Hope in Him. He will come and be your help, an ever-present help in the time of trouble. Hope in God. Ain't nothing too big for God. What is that that's too big for God? Pray tell me. Calvary wasn't too big for Him. When the weight of the world hung on His shoulders and the sins of the world hung on His soul, He walked up Calvary. Let them nail Him to a tree and lift Him up. They lifted up the greatest of all sin bearers, but they never put His song out. In closing, I'm going to tell you the story of a little woman. This little woman was just as robust as us. And one day, she got feeling bad, and she got feeling worse. And eventually, she could not go about like she was, and then she ended up in a wheelchair. They put her in church, and they brought her in, and she said, I don't want you to feel sorry for me. They've only put my body in here. I refuse to give my mind a wheelchair. I'm not going to have a wheelchair mind. They may put me in a wheelchair, but I refuse to have a wheelchair mind. Amen. She said, I want you to understand that I will not and shall never have a wheelchair mind. I may have to die in this wheelchair physically, but my mind will not die in a wheelchair. Amen. So every morning, she made it her duty as she went to her window, and she would look out and pray for the people who walked down her sidewalk as they went to work. And after a while, people begin to notice there's a smiling woman that sits there every morning, and she prays. And she prays for people who she sees walk down her sidewalk going to work. It wasn't long until men that went out of their way to walk down that sidewalk so they could look into the face of a smiling woman who refused to let her mind ever be put in a wheelchair. And she would smile at them, and they knew that she was praying for them. And they got to where they made it a daily thing to pass by her window and look in her smiling face, and to know that they were being prayed for gave them hope that their day would be better. And when she died, these men that went by her window every morning for her to smile at them and to pray for them lined up a long line to go by a woman who died, an invalid in a wheelchair, who refused to let her mind ever sit down in a wheelchair. Listen, my friend, You may have to hobble into life physically, but God, don't let it happen to us that we have to get crutches for our mind and soul. Don't let it happen, God, that we end up laying in a bed, an invalid, in our soul. We may not be able to make our body do what we once done, but we can have our soul on fire. We can have our soul singing as good as it's ever sung. Our soul can have a testimony and an experience with God. You don't have to be young. You have to be encouraged. Hope thou in God. Let's stand. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. God, don't roll no wheelchair up for me spiritually. Don't let me sit down spiritually and say, I'm so crippled, I can't get up. Let me fight for my soul, that my soul can fight for me. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I sense the Holy Ghost in this place. I sense Him near to us. Some of you, you need to make up your mind. I'm getting rid of those crutches. I'm getting rid of these spiritual crutches. I'm tired of my soul not being able to do for God. I'm going to get rid of them tonight. I'm going to get rid of these excuses. I'm going to question my soul. Why are you disquieted? What happened to your song? What happened to those psalms? What happened to those scriptures? What happened to that emotion? Why are you disquieted within me? You're affecting me. I'm not acting right. I want to do different. Amen. Thanks, Sister Loretta. You've done a good job, even if you couldn't hear yourself. You've done great. God helped you. She's been afflicted. Who knows? She may sing herself out of it tonight. Tomorrow morning when she wakes up, those ears may be unstopped, and she starts singing like a canary. Amen. Some of you really need to take this preaching to heart. You've been down so long that you just thought the devil had done it. Greater is He that's within you than he that's within the world. I know we first mentioned, we say Holy Ghost. But why would the Holy Ghost be there if it wasn't to help me? Who would He strengthen inside of me but me? So He makes me greater than any opposition. Doesn't He? Hasn't He got you got a wonderful songbook. I love it, the way you got things organized. He's a very organized man, apparently. You got His songbook, and it's neat. My Bible's not that neat. But the Holy Ghost has got a bigger songbook than that. In fact, He's the author of every one that's ever written. You find yourself singing songs that you don't even know existed, because He has a copyright on all of them. They're all His. So why aren't you singing? The Holy Ghost has got a songbook. And since he moved on those holy men of old to write this book we call the Bible, why aren't we quoting scriptures? And since He can see all the way down your past and clear to your future, why aren't you happy that He's got you by the hand? Hey, I tell you, all we need is just more of Him. He can help Brother Joe get rabbit in his feet. Rabbit in his feet. Ain't nothing else can make him get rabbit in his feet. But the Holy Ghost can. What we need then to be happy is already ours.
But then when we start doubting, pouting, we start letting our emotions get out of hand, we're telling him, I can handle it. Yeah, sure. You've done a great job. That's why you're in a spiritual wheelchair and you need a resurrection. So, God, tonight, let me ask myself a question. Who art thou, Castiel? You're the same God that brought my daddy and mama to a worse crisis than I had. You're the same God that led my forefathers to worse than I've ever had. You put food on the table when there wasn't food to be found. You gave them jobs when there wasn't jobs to be had. You kept them protected when they couldn't protect themselves. Amen. Then why should I say to anyone other than God, I'm going to hope in you. You're my hope. You're my song. You're my joy. You're my all in all. God is my all in all. Hope. Hope. A little sissy word. Hope. Why hope when you can do something about it? You better go back to that little sissy way and say, I need God. I think I'll hope in Him. Yeah. Amen?
Yes. You don't have to be so macho.
Sometimes when you look at those others that was there, John looked sort of effeminate, didn't he? Leaning on the breast of Jesus, whispering in his ear, who is it that's going to betray you? Is it I? Jesus whispered back, and John was the only one that knew him that I dipped the sop with and handed to him shall betray me. And he dipped it and handed it to Judas, and only John knew that Judas was the one. The rest of them were busily saying, uncertain in their soul, is it I? Is it I? John knew who it was because he hoped in God. Amen. So tonight, if you're discouraged, first step to encouragement, bringing it to Jesus and saying, Lord, would you help me set my soul down for a moment and have a talk with myself about why I'm doing like I'm doing. And I think you will find that He is the health of our countenance and the hope of our soul. Amen. Sister, say, the altar's open.